I would weave a magic spell of a rainbow design, of a rainbow design. In it, I would weave the courage of women giving birth, and in it I would weave the innocence of the children of all the earth. Children of all the earth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Friday edition. Today's date is January 25th, 2008. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to have you here for one of our it's a rant again, and I'm sorry that I told you I'd try to have a guest. That didn't happen. Sometimes it doesn't, and I've decided to share with you some of the things that have been going on in the world here. Again, we're facing financial complications, and they're going to continue. This week, it's Société Générale. Of course, I think one guy was responsible for stealing $5 billion. One guy, a young junior trader who'd been with the company 7 years, got away with $5 billion. Now, if you believe that, I have some fabulous land in the Everglades to sell you. You don't need to look at it. We have it for you. It's for sale. Anyway, it just stretches the lengths of credulity here with the facts that they're actually leaking out about this guy. And then, lo and behold, now they can't find him. Probably at the bottom of some pit somewhere or something. But it's only going to be one in a string of reports of news of this type. This is not they're blaming their credit extension problems through the derivative process on a trader in order to keep people away from the idea that they are neck deep in these swaps and futures and, you know, these belly up derivatives, and which they are, and most of the larger banks are, and not all of them are, but most of them. So they would rather turn over their losses to a theft than they would to this implosion. What the motivation of that exactly is, I don't know. But I do know this. We will be getting more reports from other banks like this shortly, if not immediately. There are a whole host of financial companies waiting in the wings to report bad news to everybody. Now, it seems like to me that they are desperate to keep a lid on this. And that would make one believe that they don't want a meltdown. I don't think that's true. I think somehow at this point they are interested in a managed destruction of the finances. Seems like. Now, you know, I was talking to a longtime listener of the French Connection, and we were discussing the changes if a financial system does fail. And the fact is that they own all of the hard assets, which we've discussed before, like the water systems, rubbish pickup, and so forth. What it'll require when we do finally come to grips with the fact that our financial system is in free fall and, you know, falling apart, there is going to come a time when we have to decide to renationalize and take back all of the assets from these people. I mean, take them back. Just not pay them for them. Take them back. Because the way they were taken from the public, the way they were expropriated from our hands into theirs, was criminal in its first instance. And so it seems to me that there is an absolute need across the world's nations, such as France and Germany and Spain. Every country has sold off its water rights. It's even the highways are being sold. France has private highways here, much of the infrastructure of which was paid for by the French public and then sold into a consortium that controls, such as the Autoroute du Sud de la France, which is the link between Lyon and Marseille, a heavily traveled four-lane highway in each direction that has a series of tolls, and it generates tens of billions of dollars a year directly into the coffers of these controllers, same people. They're doing it in the United States. They've got it planned for Canada. They've got it going in more frequently here in France, where almost no two major cities are linked with usable roads anymore. If you want to take a national road that doesn't require you to pay, you almost double your travel time, and then of course your fuel consumption goes way up. So the fact is that they're putting monopoly structures on travel. Air travel is the same. All of the securing of these airports is done by these same controllers. You'll notice that ICTS and companies like it, which is an Israeli-owned company, are in control of airport security, and they're privatizing everything. Bus service, trains. Britain has privatized theirs. Look at the mess that created for them. And it's a steepening decline, guys. I wish I could feel like there was going to be solutions immediate for all of these things that we discuss here in the French Connection, but sadly there are none. There are no immediate solutions to any of it. There are solutions for you individually, and that would be to begin to take seriously all of these things that we've been discussing and use this knowledge to protect the ones you love and yourself. What does that entail? A few months' supply of food immediately. Means for lighting and heat in your home, aside from the standard methods. Get out of debt. One that somebody else said was, if you have any shares or actions of any number, even a few of them, buy them out, get them out by certificate out of your bank, because you don't know if your bank is going to be bankrupt. Many of them are now showing up on paper to be insolvent, so your bank may not be there, but you'll want your assets out. Try to, if you're older and you have a chance, pay off all of your debts if you've got the ability. If you're a renter, stay in good stead with your renter, your counterparty, the people who own your building, and actually begin to look for a cheaper place to live, because there may be people out there as the housing problem mounts, and there may be rental properties in your area going for better prices than you're paying now. Try to reduce the way you spend your money. If you're going to go to McDonald's or to a food restaurant, decide and say, well, you know, let's take that $25 or $30 or $40 that I was going to spend there and buy food at the grocery store in bulk, make ourselves a picnic and go out and have an event, a special eating event together that does not cost one-third the amount of going out to dinner. Now, sadly, for the restaurant owners of the world, they're going to be going belly up as the rest of the businesses are. And companies are going to start failing all over the place. It's got 2 or 3 months from now, it's going to be so many that you won't even be able to, you won't even believe it. But use any available cash to invest in survival means. Candles, lamp oil, butane or propane gas heaters to keep your home warm, things that don't require electricity. If you've got an electric generator, make sure you buy a diesel generator if possible. A little expensive sometimes, but if you look around, there's a couple of them out there, 4,000 watt diesel generators that cost you $700 or $800, and they work very well. They're very economical on the fuel, and they run on vegetable oil if you can find it. Just filter the vegetable oil really well, put them through one of these filters that you use for your regular heating system, and pump the fuel through that filter, and it'll go right into your diesel generator and run it. They're more versatile than gasoline. That's why I'm mentioning those. Storage containers. Hermetic and airtight storage containers. Medicine cabinets that have all of the bells and whistles you might need so you can stay away from these clinics and stuff that will charge you an arm and a leg. Of course, there may be a need for a doctor from time to time, and that's something that, you know, nobody wants to have happen, but you have to anticipate that may happen. But stay away from doctors as much as possible. First of all, they're ridiculously expensive, and secondly, many of the things that you go to a doctor for today, you can take care of yourself. You know, here in France, everybody goes to a doctor at the drop of a hat because it only costs $20. And most often, they can take care of this thing at home, which is what I do. I mean, you know, my wife says, well, go to the doctor. I say, no. Why? It'll pass. And if it doesn't, I'll go. You know, it's an attitude. And if you've got insurance, start figuring out ways. Because, you know, even with insurance, you have a co-payment. And so that's $10 in your pocket, $15 here and there. You'll be surprised how much money in the course of a month leaks through your hands on things you're not even paying attention to. It'll amount to hundreds of dollars, I'm sure. Take that hundreds of dollars that has been leaking through your hands, if you're able to see it and stop it, and put it into food and these other things we're discussing. If you're an American and you have the right to bear arms, which is still the right, not necessarily available everywhere, from New York City and Washington, D.C. and Boston and the rest can't do it, but many parts of the country still can. I would recommend having firearms in the home, well-supplied ammunition, and if need be, teach teenage children how to safely handle a firearm. That would be an important thing. That's not to say that you want to have any firearms any place that a teenager can get their hands on them. Certainly you don't. And it's, you know, your teenage son or daughter may say, oh, I don't want to touch that thing or something. But as soon as you turn your back, they may be doing it. So you got to be careful with that. However, all of these things, shotgun or something else in the home. And then you can start thinking about turning your soil over sometime in the month and a half, end of February into March, just after the freeze starts letting go, and start planting a garden. You know, there was a time when almost everyone in America grew some food for themselves. Go out to your local gardening store and buy non-genetically modified seeds and prepare to plant yourself your first garden. There are some things that grow better than others. There are spinaches that grow well. If your tomatoes generally are easy to grow. Can't put those in until end of June, though, or middle of June in most places. Zucchini, squash, cucumbers, pumpkins. There are some really low-maintenance items that you can put in. Learn how to put plastic over your soil and put holes in the plastic and then water through that so that you don't have to weed as much, provided that your soil is in good condition and you have a rich soil. Start a compost pile. Put a little barrier around or a little wooden fence around a spot in the yard and cover it with something and start pouring in your leaves and cuttings in there and prepare for a sizable garden. Learn how to do it. Your first season, you'll be surprised how much success you have, and you'll also be a little disappointed with some of your failures, but you're going to find out something else you didn't know, how much fun it is to garden and how wonderful it feels to make your own food. Nothing like eating your own salad and your own garden-grown tomatoes. They don't taste the same, ladies and gentlemen. I've talked to you about eggs coming from non-store-bought chickens, where the flavor of the yolks and everything is just, it's from another planet. Well, the same is true of vegetables. You know, most of our vegetables are grown on factory farms where the soil has become depleted of minerals and they're void of the flavors that once were in most of our foods. So, you know, it's important that that we start looking at ways of making our lives smoother sailing when these things get difficult, because they're coming. I don't know the time. I don't know the day. You know, I get a lot of stuff about that from people. In fact, talking about the survival stuff, someone asked me to do that and if I could find somebody to talk about it, and I've done it. There's archive files all about that stuff that we have, so if you're interested, you can go back into the archives and listen to Jerry Gudetti about planting a garden and seeds and what's the easiest thing to grow, and depending on what area of the country you live in. I don't know the dates of it. All I know is this is a quickening and more severe implosion than I had first thought. Although by the end of November, early December, I had really caught on to just how bad it is and how bad it was going to get. I brought up in the last file with Mohammed Rafig the idea that the people over at that Jewish agency are certainly very, very involved in implementing the crimes of the Zionist camp in the country. They're trying now, of course, I read on the internet, they're trying now to criminalize anybody who complains about Zionism, saying that's anti-Semitic. It's like saying that the La Cosa, if you talk about La Cosa Nostra, you're anti-Italian, which is unbelievable, these people. And they'll get away with it at some level. They will. But take heart and just keep soldiering on here and know that there are more and more people learning these facts. Again, in the last broadcast, I talked a little bit about contacting your local police department. This is important stuff, guys, especially if you're from a small suburban community. We need this. We need you to talk to these area police if you come from a small town. Give them the information. Show them the Ben Friedman thing. Show them what Ben Friedman said about all of this, or what Mal Ramsey said. Ramsey's book on what happened really in the last century is devastating for these Zionists. You got to put that out there. It's really incredible. And it's short, very well written, easy to read, everything. You know, people have said, you know, I'm anti-Jewish. I'm not. I'm anti-Israeli. Israel has no business even existing. They stole that whole place from the indigenous population and then proceeded to commit genocide against these people. No, Israel has no right to exist. None. Does that mean that that every Israeli over there is culpable and guilty? Yeah, they know. They know their country stole that from those people. They know. They know that they're killing these people and starving them. They know. So yes, they're complicit in genocide. The population is responsible. Yes, I'm telling you that. Now, does that make some Jewish person in Bangor, Maine, responsible? Well, that would depend on what participation they've had in pushing forward the Zionist agenda. And in many cases, they haven't done anything to help that out. They don't donate to them. They don't work on behalf of them. And yes, many of them don't actually come out against them either. But because their community has been bombarded by propaganda, as non-Jews have been in America, you know, that you start calling somebody an anti-Semitic and all of a sudden everybody starts getting shaky. They don't even want to look into what the claim is. All they have to do is make the claim, and that's enough to slander somebody out of being considered serious. So, you know, many of the Jews have been browbeat out of even looking into their own community's crimes. You know, Zionism in back in World War II wasn't followed by a lot of the Jews that were in Poland and Germany. They were forced out of those countries to Palestine. They didn't want, a lot of them didn't want to go. And that's where you got your huge influx into these death camps where they starved and worked themselves to death building armaments for the war because they refused to go to Palestine in the 30s and into the early 40s. They didn't want to go. They considered themselves, German citizens first. They considered themselves Torah Jews, not Talmudic supremacists in many instances. And of course, the people in the Jewish community that are in charge today through this Jewish agency don't want Torah Jews to hold sway in that community. And they claim to speak for all Jews is what it is, and clearly they don't. So, and I've often thought, as I've shared with you before, that taking apart their infrastructure would be far easier if we were to garner their help in doing it. So, it's hard to know when you're being used by the people from that community, though. So, often I ask them to step back from leadership because it makes... You know, if you're at war with the Mongolians, you don't want to have a Mongolian leader of the fight against them because people are going to question their loyalty. So, and that happens. People are naturally suspicious. And so what they need to do is lend full moral support to the rest of us fighting the battle and provide us with information if it comes available to them so that we can examine that information and then put it to good use. Because ultimately, if a backlash is developed, which is very possible, against their community, people who had nothing to do with it may get swept up in the backlash, and that would be a terrible situation. Terrible. You know, an innocent person being injured is an innocent person being injured. It doesn't matter what community they're from. And we would be as bad as the Israelis, what they're doing to the Palestinians, if we started doing that in reverse to people who had nothing to do with it. And I hope that I'm above being that way. I hope that I still have some code of ethics that I live by. And you know, blaming everybody in the Kurt Maynard formula is not my way, and that. That often is propagated by people who want to discredit the rest of us. So be careful about people signing onto that agenda. You know? And what else? Still haven't got my computer up because I haven't bought one. I've been talking. See, here's the other thing that many people don't understand. I don't live anywhere near any place to get stuff fixed either. and my family has a single automobile, which is in use, and it's... To go from here to a city where I can get stuff fixed, and it's hours and hours of time and effort just to get there and back, and yeah. So it's no audio here. Trying to figure out a solution for it. I do have a couple of things I've come up with here about breaking down a partition and getting it relaunched and everything like that, and it's about scrubbing the head of the whole memory clean again and starting off with a fresh operating system and then getting all the periphery stuff reinstalled. And it's right now the internet works on my system. So I'm very scared to even mess with it. I know many of you can understand that if something's working at least halfway, you don't want to ruin the half that is working. Yeah. And I'll be darned if I feel, you know, hey, computers are still 500 bucks over here, 500 euros. I mean, I don't want to be throwing that around. Actually, there's one available, but I found out it doesn't have a modem, so I'd have to pay for that. And it doesn't have several other things it didn't have. It was like this super tiny, basic little computer for like 350 euros. It'll probably function all right, I guess, but... I do have an external modem I can hook into it. Anyway, those are all the things that are going on with me. We're not. I don't know how, you know how what I'm doing. If I'm fiddling here as Rome's burning with this mess, I mean I don't know what to keep telling everybody. I keep getting on the radio here and talking about this mess as though it's somehow going to change direction abruptly or something, or something major is going to happen. But you all know the story. So what is the goal then? It's to tell as many people as we can, to get the message out into the mainstream, to package it in ways that people will give it its due. They'll be willing to sit through a Ben Friedman or read Archibald Maul Ramsey's book, or Douglas Reed's, or Lise's book, or Dyke's book, or Henry Ford's work, or, I mean, you know, the list goes on, or read the quotes from Molière, or from Voltaire, even, or from, you want to read what kind of crimes that the Jewish community has done from the beginning, read The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare talks about it. Shylock. You've heard of a Shylock? Well, it's, that comes from Shakespeare. Shylock was the name of the man who was demanding his pound of flesh. You know, the story is it's historic, it's real, and we just got to find ways of getting people interested in understanding it, because unless and until we're able to do that, ladies and gentlemen, our battle is never going to be taken seriously by our detractors and by our enemy. But really, we're not going to be able to affect real change until we have stronger numbers and a more powerful backing. You know, I said it before. I had people that were following this good for nothing shill, Ron Paul, spent the same amount of time telling the world about Zionism, we'd have already had these people in shackles. Imagine what the French Connection could do with $20 million. Think about that. Geez, I the world would be well, they'd have probably rushed down here with helicopters to blow me off the face of the planet by now. But even 1/50th of that amount of money, even 1/100th of it, even 1/1000th of that amount of money would have been enough to bring in huge numbers. We still, there are new people out there trying to share this message, and I applaud them. You know, my efforts have been so slimed over the last year that some people don't trust the work I do, and they still have not looked into the facts behind what people have accused me of and all this other stuff. And so because of that, you know, the guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And then the Zionists themselves who are working clandestinely are still out there trashing me as though I was working for them or something. Anyway, so we need voices, we need message, we need effort, we need dissemination. We need contact done with our police, with our politicians in our local towns. They are going to become very open to the ideas as this financial crisis deepens. Bear that in mind as you begin to package up an envelope with a CD in it for your local police department, or even start out with your fire chief. Send him one. Usually the fire department and the police department know each other quite well, because they work in union activity about their paychecks and stuff together. And I know that was the truth in my hometown. The chief of police and the fire department chief knew each other very well. And one would transfer their information to the other, I'm certain. So don't miss an opportunity to send it to anybody within local town government to get the message out. Because when it comes time to put the thumbscrews down on the public, and they ask your town police department to start doing it, they may just say, hey, no, we know the facts, and we're not doing that. In fact, we're going to support our local resistance against you criminals. And that's probably going to happen more often than you think coming up soon, as people begin to understand the depth of this criminal network we're facing. So that's what I've come to say. some encouragement, basically, some things to motivate you in some way or inform you in others, and to let you know that I'm still trying. You know, we don't have resources here to do a bang up job, but we do what we can with what we got. And there's always technical issues to watch out for. And I want to let you know that my webmaster did not know the gravity of putting the word G.D on the website. And I didn't even read the fact that he had done that and why he did it. I didn't realize. And then somebody pointed out, and when I brought it up to him, he said, "Oh, I don't know. You know, the importance of it was lost on him." But when I explained it to him, he said, "Oh, that makes sense." And so he's apologized for that. And I want you to know that when an error is made, it can be made for a myriad of reasons, often out of ignorance, often out of a misunderstanding, or often out of an oversight that was not properly kept. And in those instances, we try to correct them and let you know about it. Some other things, too. If you find discrepancies in our books, from the books we've got on the website to the ones that you've got in your archives from reading one to the other, point out the discrepancies. We don't want to put books that are have been edited on the website. We don't want that. We want full version information on the website. And, you know, collecting the information from all the sources we have, we can't guarantee that unless we get some help from you. You may have a version out there that has more information on Douglas Reed or on Jack Bernstein or on Henry Ford or all others. So please inform us of those things. And in the meantime, begin to think of ways of becoming independent. And by that I mean not independent from your fellows, but independent from the system. Food, clothing, shelter, electricity, and the like. And make sure you've provided yourself with protection as well. So until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you to take care of your families. And please, be well. Bye-bye now. Won't you show my brothers and sisters, my rainbow design, 'cause I would bind up the sorry world. Golden thread.